fancier places round.
It matters not where you're bound.
Do you file in Nazareth town? You're safe and you're sound.
Rent your paddles and come on down. You're in Nazareth town.
We've seen all kinds of people from all kinds of places.
For there is no peace of fancy translation.
Worldwide travelers,
prophetic paddlers,
preachers and teachers,
political prancers,
come to show you around.
This is Go Ye International's podcast. Thank you for taking interest in this episode in which I will continue the audio version of my book titled My Tongue is the Pen of a Ready Writer, Adding Color to a World of Gray.
With the law we are strict,
it's our what's one infringement.
Don't worry about it.
Our religious contingent.
We're moral.
We're moral.
You're downright disgraceful.
Don't press your luck, man, or you'll get a baseball.
We're not perfect, pristine, or profound,
but we're happy in Nazareth town.
Chapter 31, page 74. Two temples. One will far outweigh all trials on earth. Do not be confused with the man-made temple soon to be built by men in Jerusalem, post-October 2006, that will usher in the Antichrist, the Beast. When that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, shewing himself that he is God. Apostle John recorded that there was given me a reed, like unto a rod, and the angel stood, saying, Rise, and measure the temple of God, and the altar, and them that worship therein. But the court which is without the temple leave out, and measure it not, for it is given unto the Gentiles, and the holy city shall they tread under foot 42 months. When this son of perdition is revealed, two good guys show up to rebuke him. I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. The Lord Jesus spoke, When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand, then shall be great tribulation such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Then, if any man shall say unto you, Lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. The temple spoken of in these verses is man-made by Zionist supporters. A few years prior to that time frame, there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and show great signs and wonders, insomuch that, if it were possible, they should deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before, wherefore if they shall say unto you, Behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east, and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be, his glory illuminating the atmosphere. After this sign of Jesus Christ, the light of the world, Apostle John recorded the subsequent events, saying, After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations, and kindreds, and people, and tongues, stood before the throne, and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. One of the elders answered, saying unto me, What are these which are arrayed in white robes? And whence came they? And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, These are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God, and serve him day and night in his temple, and he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sunlight on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Lord Jesus has said, "Wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, and believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go ye know, and the way you know. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me. Because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments, and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. Concerning the believers of ages past, the author of the book of Hebrews in the New Testament correctly records, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. They loved not their lives unto the death, keeping the commandments of God, and having the testimony of Jesus Christ. The Apostle John summed it all up with these words, which will occur much sooner than you presently understand. I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride, adorned for her husband. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Read Revelation chapter 21 and 22 to discover the splendid description of this divinely spectacular city that one day will descend upon this planet, over the present Jerusalem resting upon a new Mount Zion that will be above the highest mountains we presently measure for all to see during the kingdom of heaven on earth, the kingdom of God. Revelation 21 through 22 takes place before the judgment day in Revelation 20, which is the last event to take place after 1,000 years of King Jesus. The widely held view is that chapters 20 through 22 are sequential. That is not a closed case, as you will see. One of the troubles in American Christianity is the carnal, worldly appetite most Christians in this country have for entertainment, recreation, and adventure that is generally fed by high school, college, and NFL games, all sorts of other sports, movies, and a plethora of events, associations, clubs, groups available to consume one's time. Exercise is necessary. But for the religion of professional sports in America, read Luke chapter 16, verse 15. The trend in the 21st century American church is to take cruises to explore God's marvelous creation and study His Word. Vacations or taking cruises aren't the problem, but if this is what it takes to get people into the Bible, just how much will they get? Then their priorities are sinful and they are clueless to what God would have them do. Real love for Lord Jesus, desire for Holy Father, and to be moved by Holy Spirit comes by this approach. Behold, God is great, and we know Him not. Neither can the number of His years be searched out. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom, and walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time because the days are evil. May you soon say, I have esteemed the words of His mouth more than my necessary food, becoming addicted to the ministry of the saints. When this takes place for the new convert or the seasoned Christian, God's Word becomes entertaining, recreational, and adventurous. Without getting into all of the prophetic passages in the Old Testament that are for our learning, there are many examples where the future prophecies recorded in certain passages do not follow a 1, 2, 3, or ABC sequence. Though not prophetic, but historical, the most obvious of these examples is in Genesis chapter 1 and 2. Chapter 1 is the general overview account of God's description to Moses of what He did in creation week. You will notice there isn't much detail given to any one day or event in chapter 1. It is just general information about the creation. Chapter 2 is unfortunately misunderstood by critics of God's Word to be an entirely different, contradictory account of the same events that took place during creation week in chapter 1. You can't trust the Bible because it has contradictions in the first two chapters, is their conclusion. Chapter 2 is not contradictory. Genesis chapter 2 contains events taking place on day 6 in the garden. The differences in the order of creatures created are different events during creation. Genesis chapter 2 records specifically what God did on day 6 in the garden, which was rushed over in chapter 1's overview. Without mentioning the garden, the entire cosmos and man are in the overview of chapter 1. Chapter 1 is the entire show as a whole. Chapter 2 is day 6 in detail as it pertains to special people, Adam and Eve, in a special place, the Garden of Eden. The creatures created on this day were in a different order as it pertained to the Garden of Eden on day 6. Chapter 2 covers only day 6. Thus, the different order of creatures created in the garden. God began His Bible with an overview followed by the detail in Genesis, the beginning. Now, fast forward past all other similar examples in the prophets to the last chapters of the last book of the Holy Bible, Revelation chapter 20 through 22. Here God gives what is going to happen after the events of chapter 19, the results of the Battle of Armageddon. Revelation 20 is like Genesis 1 in pattern or format. Revelation 20 is the overview of the millennial kingdom of King Jesus, culminating in the Great White Throne Judgment, Judgment Day, as it is commonly referred to. That's it. Nothing more is mentioned in terms of sequence or future events after those events. After Judgment Day, Revelation chapter 20, 11 through 15, which takes place at the end of the 1,000-year kingdom of God on earth, we can only speculate. Revelation 20 is a rapid overview. Then Apostle John was given the detail of what it will be like for Christ's bride. The redeemed of all ages at that time will be immortals by way of the better resurrection that will have already taken place. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 35, Revelation chapter 7, 9 through 17, 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 through 18. A special people made new in a special new heavens and new earth. Revelation 21, 9, with a new garden. The only way this can be missed is if the Bible is approached with the presuppositions contrary to the revealed truth of God's Word. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies. Chapter 32, page 79. Holy Land Hotbed, the controversy over Israel and the Jews. God's word is as clear as the day concerning the nation of Israel, the Jew, the Holy Land, and the response of the surrounding nations. The trouble understanding this is man's will being contrary to the word of God. If the geopolitics regarding Israel weren't enough to make your head spin, try adding to the mix replacement theology, evangelical dispensationalism, also known as hyperdispensationalism, pre-tribulational rapturism, tribal identity theology, and unbiblical Zionism that established and founded the 1948 AD state of Israel. These erroneous doctrines of men that make the word of God of none effect, rendering his law void in the minds of men, will be oversimplified for the sake of space. None of these heresies are conveyed in this book. These dark dilemmas detracting from God's divine declarations have been clearly distinguished and separated from the over 2,800 verses included in this book. Replacement theology. Common among most Protestant Reformation theology congregations, began centuries ago and basically states that the church replaced the nation of Israel as it pertains to God's covenants. Therefore, all the Old Testament portions yet unfulfilled are explained away as being literary elements like allegory, metaphors, poetic imagery, and/or idioms, with the outcome negating a literal understanding. They also apply to the church a be-in-charge mentality, whereby seeing the church as conditioning worldly government to become the transcendent kingdom of God with King Jesus operating in the hearts of people. The mentioned elements are used in Hebrew literature, but in no way negate the literal historical and prophetic elements of the Scripture when and where appropriate, which is the foundation and backbone of everything in the Holy Bible. Those other elements are enhancements to the bare text, but never neutralize what is to be understood as prophecy or biblical history, whether it is in Genesis chapters 1 through 3, Exodus chapters 7 through 12, Zechariah chapters 12 through 14, or Revelation chapter 6 through 22. To the new convert to this material, know that there is widespread misunderstanding about Israel and the Christian church today. Some teach that premillennial eschatology is the result of Darby's dispensationalism in the 1850s. That is so wrong, one need only to read certain writings from the second century church fathers, and the case for premillennialism is present. This rejection is most often directed towards pre-tribulational rapturism that arose in the 1830s. This is quite understandable. As a result, replacement theologians uniformly reject premillennial eschatology, as in this book, because of the associated blind Christian support for U.S. foreign policy with the state of Israel. Readers and listeners alike know this. Not all premillennial advocates support the U.S. foreign policy regarding Israel or the Middle East. Bless the Jew with Christ, not Zionism. Pre-tribulational rapturism has terrible exegesis, diluted deductions, and a scenario that sells books but breaks scripture. Every pre-tribulationalist of any significant notoriety backs the 1948 AD deception. Don't get premillennial eschatology mingled together with pre-tribulational rapturism. Dispensational pre-tribulational rapturism is the new kid on the block when it comes to a school of thought about Bible prophecy and should not be lumped together with the historical premillennial eschatology present throughout church history. Reject the pre-trib scenarios. Another one is the 10 Lost Tribes of Israel identity theology, which is as wrong as the previous two. They end up believing European, British, Scandinavian, early American, Canadian, New Zealand, and Australian Caucasians are the people who make up the tribes of Israel, referenced throughout this document. Some of them turn America into Mystery Babylon, while usually complaining how portions of the English Bible are mistranslated, mandating Hebrew names for Jesus and Lord. America is evil, but not Mystery Babylon. That brings us to unbiblical Zionism. The unbiblical Zionism factor regarding Bible prophecy cannot be ignored, and if denied, you won't have a clue when the false Messiah shows up on the Temple Mount in Jerusalem. The funding and foundation of the modern state of Israel and the political intrigue occurring to bring the Jews, real and fake, back into the land for the prophesied slaughter in Zechariah 13 in the Old Testament Torah is what is going on. Zionism is the Jews' worst enemy. The website www.JewsAgainstZionism.com, all letters lowercase and together, JewsAgainstZionism.com, by True Torah Jews Against Zionism is helpful since, being Jewish, they are aware of the true history of Zionism in the illegitimate state of Israel and its involvement with American foreign policy. To avoid all of the unfortunate baggage that surrounds this subject, get it from a Jewish community that knows better and knew better in the 1930s. Unfortunately, they use the Talmud too. The Christian right should visit www.truthtellers.org for resources regarding the concealed nature of the Zohar and Talmud used in apostate Judaism. Both of these websites are neither supported entirely in matters historical or doctrinal. Not all premillennial supporters agree with the misapplication of 1948 AD as being the rebirth or resurrection of the nation of Israel, nor the subsequent years being the fulfillment of Ezekiel chapters 36 through 37. Why not? Here's why. Chapter 36, by some commentators, is said to be strictly historical, fulfilled prior to 4 BC. Even if it is yet future, like chapter 37 and 38, it is dealing with a unified, believing, and obedient people as discussed in chapter 37. They aren't! Chapter 37, in 1 through 13, is an example of metaphor describing a resurrection of the people with true-to-God regenerative spirituality. Though, using metaphor, this is a real event prophesied to occur in the future. This has not occurred since 1948, and didn't occur in 1948. The 12 tribes of Israel are as dead as they were after rejecting their king in the 1st century A.D. Chapter 37, verse 14. I shall put my spirit in you, and ye shall live. And I shall place you in your land. Then shall ye know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. Anytime these words are used in the Bible, it is referring to being saved, born again, made spiritually alive. If you Zionist supporters in America think the Jews are born again when they are blind, you are blind and are in the ditch with them. Chapter 37, verse 22. One king shall be king to them all, and they shall be no more two nations, that is, Israel and Judah. That's all Old Testament history we're not taking up here. They shall be no more two nations, neither shall they be divided into two kingdoms any more at all. That isn't the current elected prime minister. Israel has a few political parties, which is division. 1948 was no different. Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 23. Neither shall they defile themselves any more with their idols, nor with their detestable things, nor with any of their transgressions. But I will save them out of all their dwelling places wherein they have sinned, and will cleanse them. So shall they be my people, and I will be their God. The Zionist-controlled Christian right, apparently, because they are blind being led by the blind Jewish Zionists, haven't read the very text they refer to. Jews are as wicked as the average Joe Sixpack Gentile next door. They are no different than they were with Jesus Christ or in Jeremiah's day when they obeyed not, neither inclined their ear, but made their stiff neck, that they might not hear nor receive instruction. Jeremiah 17:23. As a group and nation, they don't give a flip about Jesus Christ as their Messiah or God. Most of the founding Zionists were atheists and used the real Jewish Holocaust in the 30s and 40s to appeal to Jews in America and other safe countries to fund and follow after the Zionist takeover of Israel. You can see how crafty these evil thinkers were by using that horrible calamity to persuade Jews worldwide to go to Israel. All the while, the Zionist propaganda machine would disseminate half-truths, deceit, and outright lies about the land that was being stolen from some Jews and Palestinians already present, many who were Christians. Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 24. And David my servant shall be king over them, and they shall have one shepherd. They shall also walk in my judgments, and observe my statutes, and do them. Here is that king mentioned earlier. Whether you take it to be the resurrected King David, or typified as the Lord Jesus, where is he? They have no king from God. This is how to know this chapter is yet future. King David died and decayed over 2,900 years ago, from 2008 AD. He is said to be returned to the throne over Israel in this verse. Neither King David nor King of Kings, Lord Jesus, is sitting on a throne in Jerusalem or anywhere else in Israel. The conclusions are this passage is still future beyond 2006 AD, 2008 AD, at the recording of this podcast. It was not fulfilled in 1948, nor even began then, and this is a prime example of Bible scholars applying an illegitimate allegorical or simply metaphorical summary on the passage because they can't believe it due to the implications. Reformed eschatology is wrong. Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 27. My tabernacle also shall be with them. Yea, I will be their God, and they shall be my people. This tabernacle is in heaven, waiting to come down to start the millennial reign of King Jesus in the new heaven and new earth. Revelation chapter 21, verse 3. which will, in actuality, take place just like it did the first time in the tabernacle of Moses' day. I will set my tabernacle among you, and my soul shall not abhor you, and I will walk among you, and will be your God, and ye shall be my people. Leviticus 26:11-12. He did it the first time, and will do it the second time, which did not happen in 1948, 1967, 1973, 1988, 1993, 2000, 2006, or 2008, as of March 2008. Verse 28. And the heathen shall know that I, the Lord, do sanctify Israel, when my sanctuary shall be in the midst of them evermore. The heathen don't have a clue about the Lord today concerning Israel. Zionist supporters have merely imagined God's involvement with the present state of Israel. Zionist supporting Christians say God is blessing them in the land. Actually, the taxpayers of America are unknowingly supporting them several $1 billion per year in foreign aid, military arsenals, and nuclear weapons, in addition to the tourism taking place, plus the financial donations pumped into the Israeli economy via big media owners in England and America. This sure is a high price to pay, but justly so, for rejecting God's standing dispersion status upon His covenant nation of Israel. The land was promised by God to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that is, Israel, who had 12 sons, known as the 12 tribes of Israel. Remember His marvelous works that He hath done, His wonders, and the judgments of His mouth. O ye seed of Israel, His servant, ye children of Jacob, His chosen ones. He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. Be ye mindful always of His covenant, the word which He commanded to 1,000 generations, even of the covenant which He made with Abraham, and of His oath unto Isaac, and hath confirmed the same to Jacob for a law, and to Israel for an everlasting covenant, saying unto thee, I will give thee the land of Canaan, the lot of your inheritance, when ye were but few, even a few, and strangers in it. The 12 tribes would end up in servitude to Egypt for 400 years to teach them a lesson for their sinful activities to their brother and for deceiving their father. 10 of the 12 were in on the deceit and damage. 400 years divided by 10 sons is 40 years hard time to run consecutively, because the sins of the fathers are visited upon the children to the third and fourth generation. God still took care of them through it all. This is the first time they were removed from their land, by God, prophesied in Genesis chapter 15, verses 1 through 6. If you read it, you will notice a generation there is said to be 100 years, written in the fourth generation. Worship the Almighty in spirit and truth, and stop fooling around with the Eternal One. This is serious. If God gives you something, be sure you will get it. It may not come for 2,000 years, but it will come. Moses shows up to deliver the 12 tribes of Israel from Egypt, and God confirms the promise for the land to him, but not without the condition of obedience. Moses called unto Joshua and said unto him in the sight of all Israel, Be strong and of good courage, for thou must go with this people unto the land which the Lord has sworn unto their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it. A few hundred years later, the rebellious northern tribes would be under Assyrian occupation, and later the stubborn southern tribes would be taken into Babylonian captivity for 70 years to fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah, and this whole land shall be a desolation and an astonishment, and these nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years, until the land had enjoyed her Sabbaths. For as long as she lay desolate, she kept Sabbath, to fulfill 70 years. They didn't practice, among many things, the Sabbath of the land. They were supposed to let the land rest once every 7 years from agricultural operations. Seed, time, and harvest for 6, rest the land on the 7th. 6 years thou shalt sow thy field, and 6 years thou shalt prune thy vineyard, and gather in the fruit thereof. But in the 7th year shall be a Sabbath of rest unto the land, a Sabbath for the Lord. Thou shalt neither sow thy field nor prune thy vineyard. They were disobedient, so God let the land rest for 70 years without them anyway by removing them as he promised through Moses, I am the Lord your God, which brought you forth out of the land of Egypt, that ye should not be their bondmen. And I have broken the bands of your yoke and made you go upright. But if ye will not hearken unto me, and will not do all these commandments, and if ye shall despise my statutes, or if your soul abhor my judgments, so that ye will not do all my commandments, but that ye break my covenant, I will also do this unto you. I will even appoint over you terror, consumption, and the burning ague, that shall consume the eyes, and cause sorrow of heart. And ye shall sow your seed in vain, for your enemies shall eat it. I will set my face against you, and ye shall be slain before your enemies. They that hate you shall reign over you, and ye shall flee when none pursueth you. If ye will not yet for all this hearken unto me, then I will punish you 7 times more for your sins. God is not cavalier about disobedience. Just read about Adam. 7 times more is what has been taking place since they rejected Jesus Christ. For the full impact of God's statements to Israel about their non-compliance to Moses and the law, read Leviticus chapter 26, verses 19 through 46. Abhor God is exactly what they did, as most of you do, and to some degree get what they got. God brought captivity upon a divided nation, Israel in the north and Judah in the south, as he promised. Remember, God is not slack concerning his promises. The condition for the 12 tribes of Israel being in the land with God's blessing is predicated upon their obedience to God. After 70 years, God allowed them to go back into the land, but not without trouble. Daniel believed his Bible, only portions of the Old Testament at that time, listening to the prophet Jeremiah in his youth. He was a mere teenager when taken captive. He never forgot his God, knowing God would not forget him for believing God's word. Insight to difficult portions of God's word is given to those who delight in the full nature, character, and acts of God, as you read here concerning Daniel, now in his 80s at the least. In the first year of Darius, Ahasuerus of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans. In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the numbers of the years, whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. And I set my face upon the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplication with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love him and to them that keep his commandments. Daniel, much to his shock, receives the legendary 70 weeks, or 490 years, prophecy regarding the kingdoms that were to the end of the age. Israel would remain under the control of those nations even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured out upon the desolate. Read all about the years that followed Daniel in the Old Testament books of Ezra, Esther, and Nehemiah. Nehemiah is the book recording the return of the 2 southern tribes of Jerusalem to rebuild the second temple, the one Lord Jesus would witness during his ministry. Read Malachi, Mark, Matthew, Luke, and John to see what the Jewish people had turned into again as a nation still dominated by Gentile kings. Though thousands of Jews believed and worshipped Christ, saying to him, My Lord and my God, as a nation they rejected their Messiah and King, who would have saved them from their sins, still available today, and delivered them and would have delivered them from Gentile occupation, still occurring until Christ returns, regardless of 1948 AD. In rejecting him, they became prey to the lust of their hearts and minds when making this collective utterance. Away with him! Away with him! Crucify him! Pilate saith unto them, Shall I crucify your king? The chief priests answered, We have no king but Caesar. They have had Gentile kings ruling over them ever since. This is nothing new according to their own Jewish prophet. They didn't bother to believe who said of God's covenant people, For now they shall say, We have no king because we feared not the Lord. What then should a king do to us? They didn't need to ask that question because Moses had told them centuries earlier what to look forward to if they would do such a thing. The answer to their arrogant question was, and still is, desolation, worldwide dispersion, dilemmas, and death. 7 times more. Read it from Moses himself in Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 15 through 68. This prophecy by Moses resumed from the previous time as a result of their king, our Lord Jesus, saying, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chicks under her wings, and ye would not? Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. Desolate it became because Moses said it would with these summary statements. The Lord shall scatter thee among all people, from the one end of the earth even unto the other, and there thou shalt serve other gods, which neither thou nor thy fathers have known, even wood and stone. And among these nations shalt thou find no ease, neither shalt the sole of thy foot have rest, but the Lord shall give thee there a trembling heart, and failing of eyes, and sorrow of mind. Thy life shall hang in doubt before thee, and thou shalt fear day and night, and shalt have no assurance of thy life. In the morning thou shalt say, Would God it were evening! And at even thou shalt say, Would God it were morning! For the fear of thine heart wherewith thou shalt fear, and for the sight of thine eyes which thou shalt see. It has been this way for the Jews over 1900 years. 1948 was nothing more than a deceptive tactic by the elite Zionists and corrupt Western bankers and politicians' plans to gather Jews into Israel, contrary to God's 7 times greater dispersion due to their disobedience. The objective of these criminals is to cause the Jews, along with the world majority, to trust in the wrong Messiah, and thereafter be slaughtered by the same. Under God, the beast will bring this to pass, fulfilling Zechariah chapter 13, verse 9. Just remember, the powers over, behind, and in the Israeli government leadership are pulling this off today in 2006, 2008, at the recording of the podcast, while the satanic influences in Islam train susceptible Muslims for 50-plus years now to hate and look forward to killing the Jews. This is a blended smoothie of poison passing the radars of even most knowledgeable premillennial teachers. They see and write about the Muslim extremism, but are oblivious to the elements of U.S. and British foreign policies in the Middle East being as much of a culprit to the quandaries there presided over by satanic Zionism. It is the corrupt Jewish Talmud and the Kabbalah, the Zohar, instead of the Torah, Old Testament of the Bible, that contains erroneous racism not taught in the Torah and satanic esoteric mysticism that has influenced many of the Jews and the Israeli government policies concerning Palestinians, Persians, and Arabs in the land. This is, in the Muslim mind, reason enough for, inappropriately, counteracting with their venomous abhorrence toward the Jews. The Muslims see the U.S. involvement in helping arm Israel with over 400 nuclear missiles, commit a few billion dollars of financial aid to Israel every year, meddle in and manipulate Middle Eastern Arabic trade practices, block and or sanction Middle East countries that try to develop their own nuclear power, and on it could go. You will never understand the Muslim hatred towards the West until you know and understand the West's, namely U.S., evil foreign policies in the Arabic Muslim part of the world that is so whitewashed in the American media that the above-average Christians can't see it while they are busy building their dream homes and watching the NFL diversions and nightly propaganda. This is absolutely not a defense for the Israeli government, nor is it a plea to protect the Muslim nations. This is only the hard, cold facts of the present reality showing the gigantic mess of men's minds who are without true knowledge about God and void of acceptable worship to God, now culminating in what was foretold by agrarian nomads over the course of 4,000 years. Who says sheep herders and farmers aren't advanced? That Holy Land territory is going to be as horrible as it is today, and even worse in the coming years, until a peace treaty is made with a new government, possibly Germanic or Russian, presiding over that region. During all of this, just keep your eyes on Jesus and remember his words, regardless of those on Christian TV or the evening news. The Gentiles are in charge regardless of who the Jews vote into office until Jesus' words come to pass. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hands to heaven and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer. The time no longer mentioned is the time of the Gentiles that Lord Jesus spoke of before his crucifixion. Time no longer entails a thing which went on formerly, whereas now a different state of things exists or has begun to exist. It's the Greek word ete. This is obviously the time of the Gentiles, according to Jesus, because the normal 24-hour days do continue after the proclamation occurs. It is a time frame that is discussed and not time as determined by the celestial host or clocks. The different thing that occurs is the reign of Christ as king over all. Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles unto the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled, until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in, but the court which is without the temple leave out, and measure it not, for it is given unto the Gentiles, and the holy city shall they tread under foot 42 months. From Daniel to Christ Jesus, and even apostles Paul and John, we see how the common thread of the Gentiles, all other nations, being in control of Israel, not a Jewish king, would be the state of affairs until it is all over when King Jesus is reigning over Israel and the whole world. This did not take place in 2000 AD, in 1988, 1973, 1967, 1948, or 70 AD. God and Jesus Christ being known in the eyes of many nations, and they shall know that he is the Lord, is not even close to occurring. This is what will take place just prior to the millennium and during it. Don't be deceived into the popular rage from Bible prophecy teachers who knowingly are setting the church up for the greatest disappointment of all time. Elements within the Israeli, British, and American governments have set the stage internationally for a complete breakdown of normal peaceful societies using rogue and government-sponsored terrorism. America will either collapse as the superpower while Russia and China take dominance and/or be merged into a global government made up of a Middle Eastern coalition involving nations like Turkey, Iran, Iraq, Syria, Israel, and/or Egypt, under the headship of some kind of Russian-European predominance. America is not foretold in the Bible anywhere, and thereby isn't specifically in Bible prophecy. Either this country is merged into some other power structure or rendered powerless as a global power, like large-scale disasters and attacks. The most likely is merger, America is the machine that has primarily fueled and financed this freakish beast system now formulating before our eyes. It seems likely that Americans, via the unconstitutional tax codes of the IRS, will remain majority contributors to this system. The near future will make it evident. This book presents the truth about the restoration of the nation of Israel with King Jesus over them and the world only after and at the end of a lot of events referenced in this book sourced directly from God's Word. This book is not anti-Semitic, Jewish, or Arab, or pro-state of Israel. Earlier, you were warned of the satanic nature and corrupt Jewish commentaries on the Law of Moses and their role in bringing about further Jewish apostasy to trust in the coming beast and false prophet for peace and safety. It is the position of this author that Christians should be informed of the workings of Satan through the religious and economic aspects of the world governments. Clear declarations are made here to help the Jew. First, repent towards God and have faith in Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach. Second, stay out of Israel if you want a higher probability of staying alive over the next decade or beyond. Third, the true Messiah of Israel will return to conquer the enemies of God and reclaim his covenant nation in his time. He, without the help of earthly government, humanitarian organizations, or the Christian church, will restore Jews from around the world back to the land promised to them long ago when he comes back. Fourth, until then, the Jews in Israel, because of their disobedience to God, will suffer tremendous loss and terror because they are resisting God's continued dispersion status as a protection measure against lunatic nations that will otherwise attempt to destroy them. Now therefore, thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning this city, whereof ye say, it shall be delivered into the hand of the king of Babylon by the sword, and by the famine, and by the pestilence. Behold, I will gather them out of all countries, whither I have driven them in mine anger, and in my fury, and in great wrath. And I will bring them again unto this place, and I will cause them to dwell safely. And they shall be my people, and I shall be their God. And I will give them one heart, and one way, that they may fear me forever, for the good of them and of their children after them. And I will make an everlasting covenant with them, that I will not turn away from them to do them good. But I will put my fear in their hearts, that they shall not depart from me. Yea, I will rejoice over them to do them good, and I will plant them in the land assuredly with my whole heart and with my whole soul. For thus saith the Lord, like as I have brought all this great evil upon this people, so will I bring upon them all the good that I have promised them. As it occurred then, so it will again. I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the heathen, which ye have profaned in the midst of them. And the heathen shall know that I am the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, when I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes. For I will take you from among the heathen, and gather you out of all countries, and will bring you into your own land. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean. From all your filthiness, and from all your idols, will I cleanse you. A new heart will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them. And ye shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers. And ye shall be my people, and I will be your God. I will also save you from all uncleannesses. And I will call for the corn, and will increase it, and lay no famine upon you. And I will multiply the fruit of the tree, and the increase of the field, that ye shall receive no more reproach of famine among the heathen. Then shall ye remember your own evil ways, and your doings that were not good, and shall loathe yourselves in your own sight, for your iniquities and for your abominations. Not for your sakes do I this, saith the Lord God. Be it known unto you. Be ashamed and confounded for your own ways, O house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord God, in the day that I shall have cleansed you from all your iniquities, I will also cause you to dwell in the cities, and the wastes shall be builded, and the desolate land shall be tilled, whereas it lay desolate in the sight of all that pass by. And they shall say, the land that was desolate is become like the garden of Eden. And the waste and desolate and ruined cities are become fenced, and are inhabited. Then the heathen that are left around you shall know that I, the Lord, build the ruined places, and plant that which was desolate. I, the Lord, have spoken it, and I will do it. Until then, the nations of the world should appeal to the Jews to remain dispersed, and return in purity and truthfulness to the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Moses, while they await the gathering of Israel by the God of the universe. Those Jews dispersed to the nations of the world should remain wherein they are safe until their God, the Lord God Almighty, is known by them and all nations when he returns after the horrible days during the beast empire and lastly God's wrath. Tribes of Israel, wait. Again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, thy brethren, even thy brethren, the men of thy kindred, house of Israel holy, are they unto whom the inhabitants of Jerusalem have said, Go ye far from the Lord? Unto us is this land given in possession. Therefore say, Thus saith the Lord God, Although I have cast them far off among the heathen, and although I have scattered them among the countries, yet will I be to them as a little sanctuary in the countries where they shall come. Therefore say, Thus saith the Lord God, I will even gather you from the people and assemble you out of the countries where ye have been scattered, and I will give you the land of Israel. And they shall come thither, and they shall take away all the detestable things thereof and all the abominations thereof from thence. And I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within you, and I will take the stony heart out of their flesh, and will give them a heart of flesh, that they may walk in my statutes and keep my ordinances and do them. And they shall be my people, and I will be their God. But as for them whose heart walketh after the heart of their detestable things and their abominations, I will recompense their way upon their own heads, saith the Lord God. Observe what God told the prophet Jeremiah to record about the spiritual condition of the Jews God brings into the land of Israel: a new heart, a new spirit. Those of you Christians that back the illegitimate Zionist state of Israel, please, for the Jews' sake, the world's sake that rejects the Jesus you preach, and above all, the sake of the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ, stop the madness, tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth about the satanic nature of Zionism. The unbiblical push to get God's covenant people back in the land, and the delusion that is already within the minds of many American Christians. Americans aren't the quintessence of authentic Christianity. Ask the Christians in Lebanon, in Jordan, in Iraq, and ask the Palestinian Christians about the dealings of Zionist, Marxist, atheist, racists posing as Jews before 1967. Ask those Christians in the Middle East what is going on today. You may actually learn something. Most of all, read the Holy Bible without the brainwashed Zionist propaganda disseminated throughout modern-day evangelicalism, which is going to result in the Jews' misguided acceptance of the wrong Messiah. Church of Jesus Christ, bring to an end this heresy and deadly philosophy. The Lord God Almighty providentially dispersed the Jews for three reasons. The first is punishment for their national defiance against God. Secondly, proclamation to the Gentiles worldwide that they be flooded with God's redeeming grace. The third was for preservation of the Jewish people until the Old Testament promises are accomplished at Christ's return. Hear the word of the Lord, O ye nations, and declare it in the isles afar off, and say, He that scattered Israel will gather him and keep him as a shepherd doth his flock. Had God not dispersed them, Satan would destroy them. The lesson from history the Jews need is not go back to Israel, but is the instruction from what already happened during Jeremiah's prophecy of 70 years in captivity. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, unto all that are carried away captives, whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem unto Babylon. Build ye houses, and dwell in them, and plant gardens, and eat the fruit of them. Take ye wives, and beget sons and daughters, and take wives for your sons, and give your daughters to husbands, that they may bear sons and daughters, that ye may be increased there, and not diminished. And seek the peace of the city whither I have caused you to be carried away captives, and pray unto the Lord for it. For in the peace thereof shall ye have peace. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, let not your prophets and your diviners that be in the midst of you deceive you, neither hearken to your dreams which ye cause to be dreamed. For they prophesy falsely unto you in my name. I have not sent them, saith the Lord. For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you, and perform my good word toward you, in causing you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace, and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me, and find me, when ye shall search for me with all your heart. And I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and I will turn again your captivity, and I will gather you from all the nations, and from all the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord. And I will bring you again into the place whence I caused you to be carried away captive. If you have eyes to see and ears to hear, you will immediately realize that only when the Jews call upon the Lord in sincerity and truth will God gather them together back in their promised land. The Jews, as a people, remain in unbelief, and therefore they are prohibited to return to the land of Israel as a state government because of the standing dispersion sentence they are still under by the edict of God Almighty. When they believe, they will be brought by God into the land. Any return prior to that will result in a 2/3 refining of the Jewish population foretold by the Eternal One. The fact of the matter is, this book, more importantly, the Holy Bible, is not going to be obeyed in this matter. God knew it, therefore the 2/3 will for sure take place. Notice, however, 2/3 is a fraction equal to a percentage and not a specific number. Being 66%, Zechariah chapter 13, verses 8 and 9, the number of Jews isn't determined. As a percentage, the Christian voice speaking the truth in love, warning the Jews not to return but to dismantle the Zionist state of Israel, could lower the specific number of Jews who will be slaughtered. 66% of 5,250,000 Jews in Israel today would result in 3,465,000 slaughtered. If the Zionist supporting churches continue to unlawfully encourage Jews to return to Israel, the Jewish population will increase to, say, 8 million or more after the Antichrist achieves temporary peace in the Middle East, symbolized by a new Jewish temple built next to the Muslim Dome of the Rock. Two parts of 8 million is much more than two parts of 5.25 million. It should be clear. The greatest element of the apostasy in the church before Lord Jesus returns will be the doctrine of devils advocating a forbidden return of the Jews to the Zionist state of Israel. Repent, believe, evacuate, Jewish people, another Holocaust is coming your way in the very land you seek safety. I will say the truth in Christ. I lie not. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. Not as though the word of God hath taken none effect, for they are not all Israel, which are of Israel. For he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that sheweth mercy. Brethren, my heart's desire in prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. If by any means I may provoke to emulation the Jews, and might save some of them, then to God be the glory. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily, their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world. But I say, did not Israel know? First Moses saith, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation I will anger you. Well, because of unbelief they were broken off, and we Christians stand by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed lest he also spare not thee. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God. On them which fail, severity. But towards thee, goodness, if thou continue in his goodness. Otherwise, thou also shall be cut off. And the Jew also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in. For God is able to graft them in again. For if thou wert cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and wert grafted contrary to nature into a good olive tree, how much more shall these, which be the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happened unto Israel, until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the Deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob, for this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins, as concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes, but as touching the election, they are beloved for the Old Testament fathers' sakes. For the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. For as ye in times past have not believed God, yet have now obtained mercy through their unbelief, even so have these also now not believed, that through your mercy they also may obtain mercy. For God hath concluded them all in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon all.
Us men for God, and we will be here for us.
We women work harder from dawn to past dawn. Our town's quaint and clean.
It's dirty, it's barren,
it's dusty and hot, whatever you're wearing. You can dry in a dry on the ground, paradise. Now it's Nazareth Town.
This concludes this episode of the Go Ye International broadcast. Thank you for listening, downloading, and or reading along. You may contact us through the contact information available on the Go Ye International's podcast page via the email, the websites of goyeinternational.mysite.com, and there you'll get further information by which you can write and or use other email and call.
Remember to visit often and stay late. There's a different world.
There's a different world for you to discover.